Thank you so much. We're going to sing once more before we come. Sit down. We're thinking about prayer together. The PowerPoint is going to come up on the screen, and the first slide just gives a reminder of the series as a whole. We thought about prayer, the great adventure, praying the kingdom. We're thinking today about unanswered prayer, and then finally, a more personal journey of prayer. The next slide just gives a reminder of some of the things specifically we've thought about, which we could regard as takeaways. Pray as you can, not as you can't. The huge encouragement from the scriptures just to plunge in and pray. And in the Psalms, you see the psalmist praying all sorts of prayers. And often in extremis, in distress, the psalmist will just plunge in. The example that I've put there, Psalm 22 at the very beginning. My God, why have you forsaken me? The words that were taken up by Jesus when he was on the cross. Yeah, it's good to think about adoration and confession and thanksgiving and praying for others. But sometimes we just need to plunge in, because prayer is relationship. We can pray all sorts of prayers. And yet again, my encouragement to you, my encouragement to myself, is to pray as you can, not as you can't. What's on your heart? Just lift it to God in prayer. Secondly, praying kingdom prayers. It's not that we move on from the asking prayers. We will probably pray those as the very first prayers we ever pray. We will pray them as the very last prayers we ever pray, most likely. The most experienced saints in prayer never get beyond pray as you can, not as you can't, because they're humble and they know that they're in a dependent relationship with God. Even so, layering onto those, we are called to pray kingdom prayers, prayers that hallow the name of God, prayers that give thanks to him, prayers of confession to God, and prayers of asking, not just for our immediate needs, but for the needs of others, prayers for God's name to be glorified, prayers for revival to come, prayers for friends and family to come to know Jesus, kingdom prayers. And one of the specific encouragements that I gave was to think of three people to pray for and regularly to bring them before the Lord. Those who are not yet Christians. They may be on a journey, but they may be far away. God can break into the hardest heart. God can bring home the person who seems furthest away from him. And so think of three people that you can pray for and regularly lift them to God, specifically praying that they might come to know him. Be wonderful to have some testimonies in the days ahead of people who have been brought to Jesus. I'm praying for a couple of lantern people as part of my three. One of them seems as far away from ever from Jesus, but one of them I would say is definitely on a journey, and it's very exciting. It may be that the person you're praying for is one of the least, the last, and the lost, and there seems to be no hope. But give God the opportunity either to disappoint you or delight you. Don't be general. Don't be bland. Don't pray vaguely for someone to be blessed. It's okay to pray that, but pray specific things so that you know, well, that's been answered. No, that's not yet been answered. I need to persevere in prayer. So some of the things that we have thought about together. And today we are thinking a bit about unanswered prayer. And it is Ascension Week. I have engaged with two Ascension Day services. One of them was on the car, in the car when I was driving, absolutely tremendous, just thinking about the ascended Lord. And the other one was in person, where we were shown this painting. It's Salvador Dali. It's part of a series. You may possibly know his painting about Christ in St. John of the Cross, where Jesus is there and he is overseeing the whole world, and you're looking down. Here the ascension is portrayed and you're looking up, you're looking from a different perspective, and we were asked to reflect on this painting and the meaning and the power of the ascension. It is part of the story of our faith, and it's so important. We believe in the incarnation. Jesus came and lived among us, born as a baby, lived as a man, living a perfect life in the midst of sin and death and difficulty. We believe in the crucifixion. Jesus died on the cross for us, bearing our sin, winning forgiveness for us. We believe in the resurrection, the Father's amen to Jesus' finished work on the cross. And we believe in the ascension. Jesus has ascended into heaven. He is seated at God's right hand. He is king over all the world, and we believe in his second coming. He will come again. There will be another resurrection, a general resurrection. There will be a judgment, and there will be salvation, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. This is our story and our song by which we understand our own lives and our own ministries, God's plan and purpose for us. And so the ascension is a wonderful thing, something to believe, something to embrace, something to press into, something to rejoice into. But another reason for mentioning it now is that it can sort of sharpen our thoughts about unanswered prayer. When we read Acts 1:1-11, that wonderful reading that James brought to us, we see Jesus and he is risen and he is still there with his disciples. He is explaining to them. They can see him. They can touch him, as some of them did. They can hear his teaching. They can ask questions. It is very obviously a real relationship, disciple and follower, disciple and Lord. It's obviously real. And then Jesus ascends into heaven, and Jesus is not bodily present with us. As I've said, he's seated at God's right hand. It's the place of honor and power and authority, and we lay hold of this by faith, but we can't see Jesus. We can't hear him speaking to us with an audible voice. We can't touch him. He is not here with us. And so we can begin to doubt. Is it real? Is prayer real? Is it perhaps just speaking into the air and there's no one there? And then when we pray prayers that don't appear to be answered, that can be sharpened for us. And so, as I said, we're going to think just a little bit about unanswered prayer. On to the next slide, and three things about this. Matthew 7 is a wonderful reading, and it's wonderful encouragement to prayer. Listen again to these words and just allow them to penetrate into our hearts and minds. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Wonderful, wonderful stuff. And there is the encouragement to ask, the encouragement to seek, the encouragement to knock, and the encouragement that our God is a good and gracious Father. Heavenly Father doesn't go wrong. Earthly parents do go wrong. Many of us try our best, and yet we mess up. But God doesn't, and he gives good gifts to his children. And I want to encourage you, and one of my prayers, and one of my prayers right now, is that these words would penetrate deeply within us, and we would know in our hearts that they are true, and be secure in our relationship with God our Father. He is our good, good Father. Jesus is our Lord and Saviour. Whatever road we are walking right now, whatever struggles we face, whatever questions we have, whatever joys we have, because life is a mix of joys and sorrows and difficulties, and sometimes they sort of come to us at the same time, don't they? God is there for us. He is a prayer-answering God. He says to us, I want you to ask, I want you to seek, I want you to knock, I want you to come to me in prayer, and I am a good God, and I will answer. Do you believe it? Do I believe it? Well, this is what the Word of God says. This is the faith of the church. May it be impressed on our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. But what about those times when God doesn't answer? Three things from this passage and also from wider reflection. Sometimes we ask for the wrong things, or even things that appear to be very good things, but actually in God's plan and purpose are not. In the terms of this passage, we sometimes ask for stones. We sometimes ask for snakes. We ask for things that would not be God's best for us or not be God's best for others. And in those times, God says, no, I'm not going to give you this. I'm going to give you that. I need to be careful in sharing a word of personal testimony because I don't want to overshare. But thinking about my moving, first of all, I will be so sad to move on from here in so many ways. It's been an extraordinary few years, and I'm so grateful to you, and I'm really happy about so many things that have been achieved, and I'm sad about some things that have not been achieved, but it's wonderful just to journey with the whole church and to journey with you. But I guess for a year or so, just been praying about what the future might hold, what might be right. And there are one or two things that I've prayed for, and I've prayed for fervently, and they've not been bad prayers, but they've not happened. God has not answered. I know that probably sounds cryptic, but God has certainly not answered yes. You know, I have prayed, I have sought God. I don't believe the prayers have been wrong, but God has said no. There's a verse in Proverbs, I don't know if you know it, Proverbs 16, verse 9. And in many versions, it goes something like this. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And I believe that for me personally, I have had plans and I've prayed into those plans, and yet God has said no. In a sense, God has answered, because the answer is no. But God has had other plans and other purposes. And I believe with all my heart that that verse has come true for me. Plans and prayers and fervent prayers and not bad prayers, but God has said, these are your plans, they're not my plans, and I am going to direct your steps. And so at the right time, the right opportunity, the right college, the right place, I have said to some people this week, and it's a bold thing to say, I guess, that the reality is there's no other job that I would rather do than the one that I'm going to, no other role and no other college than this one. And so I am extraordinarily blessed. May you also know that blessing in your lives, both individually and as a gathering, as you move forward together. Of course, I may not be saying this is the most wonderful thing in the world, and I'm deeply blessed in 6 months' time, because there's huge challenges to face, and I'm deeply, deeply aware of that. But I take this as a blessing from God, and it is because God has not answered some of my prayers that this is happening. Maybe this resonates for you in some way. Maybe as you look back and you think of your own journey of faith, your own journey of life, you can see times when you have prayed for something and it's not happened because God knows best. Maybe that you just recognize that. And in your hearts, if you do give thanks to God, it may be that you're going through something right now that you can't understand and God doesn't seem to be answering. It may be that God has something different in store for you. It may be God is saying, I can understand why you're praying for this, but I am going to answer in a different way, in a different time. Of course, it may not be that, but it may be. Sometimes, without knowing it, without realizing it, we ask for a stone or we ask for a snake. And God says, I want to give you different gifts, different good things to pour into your life. I am going to answer your prayers in a different time and in a different way. That can be part of the answer to unanswered prayer. Sometimes we are also called to wait. We've heard about that already with the challenge about patience. That is so important. And in Matthew 7, the way that it's expressed, it is asking and it is seeking and it is knocking. It's an ongoing thing. And you get the sense of this, don't you? You don't just ask once, you keep asking. You seek, but seeking something, that's not just something you do for a moment and then it's gone. If you're seeking something, then you need to seek and you need to seek and you need to seek. You need to look and you need to keep looking. If you're knocking to gain entry and you don't gain entry, then you continue to knock. These are ongoing things. And sometimes we ask and sometimes we are called to persevere in prayer and to wait for his answer. God's timing is right. And it may be that as you hear this and as you wrestle with unanswered prayer, you hear the voice of God just saying to you, I want you to persevere. I want you to keep asking. I want you to keep seeking. I want you to keep knocking. Having said those two things, though, there is a third thing that needs to be said. And that is, there are times when it is just a mystery and times when we don't understand. As we come to this passage, we see the secure relationship we have with God. We see the goodness of God. We see the love that he has for us. And it's amazing and it's wonderful. And we rest in that and we don't understand. And it is a mystery. Some of you will know of the preacher, the American preacher, Tim Keller, who died a few days ago from pancreatic cancer. His writings have been a significant influence on me. I think he was 72 years of age, possibly 73. So in the overall scheme of things today, not young. Someone who had many, many years of writing and speaking ministry ahead of him. So people thought. Why has that happened? Why has he been taken at this time? I think you have to say there is an element of mystery in this and something that is left with God. I heard him speak online, just a little 10-minute excerpt, months and months ago, where he talks about the goodness of God. And he gave the story of a missionary, a cross-cultural missionary, who was marooned on an island. The ship had been wrecked. They didn't believe they were going to be rescued, and they weren't rescued, this person died. And when their diary was discovered and when their body was discovered, the last entries were praising God for his goodness. There is a huge mystery to things that happen in our lives and we don't understand. And yet the call from God is to continue to trust and rest in him and to know that the goodness of God is there, even when we wrestle with unanswered prayers. Sometimes we ask for the wrong things. Sometimes we're called to wait. Sometimes it is simply a mystery. But then, this is the final thing, we are called deeper into relationship. This is the final slide, and this is the heart of what I want to say today. And I guess it's the heart of a personal journey that I've been on over the last year or so. And also, more importantly, what I believe the scriptures are saying. What is happening here? Ask and seek and knock. What I believe is happening is that the prayer is invited into a deeper relationship. A relationship that begins with asking. And as I said at the beginning, we never get beyond that. We always want to ask our earthly parents for things. In fact, that's my experience on both sides of the divide. Your children grow up, but sometimes they still ask for things. I grow up, but I still ask for things from my mum. That is how we live. That is how we are. And we don't get beyond that. But we are also taken deeper. And this is what this text encourages us to, I think. We ask God. We express our relationship with him by asking for daily bread, for asking for salvation for friends, for asking for deliverance when we're under attack, and 101 other things as well. But we are also called to seek. That word seek is used often in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, in the New, and in the vast majority of cases, it is used in respect of God. The psalmists again and again cry out, Lord, I seek you. Lord, I long for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. That word seek, that verb, is used to seek God. And so seeking him is seeking answers from him, but it's also seeking him just for who he is and drawn into relationship with him. We seek his hand and what he gives to us, but we seek his heart all the more. And we are being encouraged here to go on a journey, asking yes, but also seeking and then knocking. Again, in the context of the time, this is table fellowship. This is access to someone's house for a meal, for fellowship, for deeper relationship. We believe that God has come to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he wants to know us more, and that relationship is on offer. And so we are being called deeper and deeper and deeper. We begin by asking, and we continue to ask, but we move on also into seeking and to knocking and knowing God better. As a biblical example of how this works, and I've talked about this before, John 11 is absolutely wonderful, and it struck me deeply when I was preaching on it a few months ago, that Martha and Mary begin by asking. It's the story of Lazarus and the raising of Lazarus, and they send word to Jesus, and he doesn't come. And Lazarus dies, and it's unanswered prayer, and there's confusion, and there's heartache, and there are many, many tears. And then Jesus turns up late, and there's still confusion. Lord, why didn't you do something? And we know, of course, that as they continue to ask, Lazarus is raised from the dead. But we just place ourselves in this moment in the story, the heartache and the disappointment with Jesus, but they continue to ask, they don't let go, they persevere, and what is happening? They are drawn deeper into relationship with this God who has confused them, who has disappointed them, who they don't understand. There's dialogue, there's to and fro. Jesus challenges them about the scriptures, about the resurrection, takes us deeper into faith. They respond. Jesus weeps. You see his heart at the tomb of Lazarus. And there is that deeper, authentic, real relationship that results because they have asked and they continue to ask. But they also seek. They don't run away from God. They wrestle with him in prayer. They ask their questions. And then he comes to them. And later, indeed, he is enjoying table fellowship with them and with Lazarus, their raised brother. A real relationship that God invites us into. We begin with asking. We continue with asking. But what God offers again and again and again is a real and a deep relationship with him that is expressed through prayer. Can I encourage you, through unanswered prayer, to keep asking? And can I encourage you especially to go beyond that, to seeking and knocking? Lord, I love you and I want to know you. Lord, I don't understand why this is happening. I can't work it out. But I know that you are good. I know that you are sovereign. And I want to be drawn into that deeper relationship with you. I want to seek you. I want to seek your heart. And I want to know you. I want, as it were, to sit down with you and to know you deeper and to have that relationship that is at the heart of asking, seeking, knocking. Have you stopped doing these things? Two takeaways from today, which are essentially two questions. Firstly, have you stopped asking? Have you stopped seeking? Have you stopped knocking? I don't say this unpastorally at all. I hope it doesn't come across in that way. Because if you've asked and if you've sought and if you've knocked and you feel that heaven is silent, then it is tough indeed. If you feel that God is absent, that he's gone AWOL, absent without leave, that is a feeling that some of the great saints have had, experiencing what is termed a dark night of the soul or a desert experience. That is tough, tough, tough. If you're going through depression, if you're going through anxiety, if you're going through difficult circumstances, if you're going through physical mental anguish, all of this affects us and colours our relationship with God, and it is so hard. But if you can receive it, then the word is to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking. Psalm 88 is the darkest psalm. It begins in darkness and it ends in darkness. Darkness is my closest friend, the psalmist says in the final verse. The psalmist is physically unwell and deeply depressed. And actually in the Hebrew, language breaks down at the end of the psalm. It's almost incoherent. Oh, am I cutting out? Can you hear me okay? Thank you very much, Minakshi. Thank you for saying that. So, yeah, we're... Let me use this one. The word of God endures forever, but my voice is fading fast. Can you hear me okay here? Okay, that's fine. I will stay tied to the lectern here and not wander. That darkest psalm, and it's so difficult. And yet what the psalmist does, and one of the reasons why that psalm is there for us, I'm convinced, is that keeps praying, keeps calling on God, keeps saying, "You are the Lord, the covenant-keeping God," and maintains that relationship, even when there seems to be silence. Have you stopped doing that? Persevere in prayer. And then finally, and I wouldn't be just to grab my notes. Something about daily habits and daily discipline. Creating space for these things. Asking, seeking, knocking. They're regular things, aren't they? And I encourage you with all my heart to have a daily time where you pray where you seek God. God meets with us when we do that. And so ask and seek and knock. The challenge of unanswered prayer is a challenge that we will probably always have with us. But God, in his grace and mercy, does come to us, does bring relief, does answer prayer, and he answers prayer especially, and I think always, in this way. Whether it's yes or no or maybe or wait or it's not that, but it's this. Whatever his answer is to our asking prayers, to those who want to go deeper into relationship with him, the answer is always yes. Yes, you can. Yes, as you ask, I will respond. Yes, as you seek, I will be found by you. And yes, as you knock. God says, the door will be opened, I will be with you, and you will be with me. Let's press deeper into that relationship to God together, and let's pray. Let's just pause for a moment now. If you want